WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. We're remembering a life well lived. William G. Bill Mays. Got another panel of folks on our live line. Derek Burks, who's the managing partner of Ernst & Young. That's the accounting people. Which means he probably helped keep the accounting straight of Bill Mays. Bill Crawford, who needs no introduction. Joyce Rogers, former president of Indiana Black Expo, formerly with Ivy Tech, now with the IU Foundation, Indiana University, in charge of finding, all those resources to make Indiana University successful. Jim Morris, who has done so, if I mentioned half of what Jim Morris has done, we would be here for the next, just an Indiana Institute like Bill Mays was, and in his first appearance at the stations he sold to Radio 1 back in 2000, and he's happy because he was never on WIFE 1310 back in the heydays. This is the first time he's ever been on the frequency 1310, the one, the only, wearing the proper Hot 96 t-shirt. Bill Shirk, who was a partner with Bill Mays in the media properties 106.7, 100.9, obviously the legendary 96.3, and the television station formerly Wave and now Telemundo Indy. Guys, welcome.
Welcome.
Let me start, Bill Shirk. In the statement that Alfred Liggins put out over the weekend at the passing of Bill Mays, one of the things that he said, quote, "No one conducted business like Bill Mays. He was a dominant force in Indiana to be respected and reckoned with. The Indianapolis community will miss him. The African-American community has lost a gem, and I will sorely miss the man I call friend." It's unusual to be in a business deal with somebody, and after the deal is over, you become a friend.
That's correct, but that's Bill Mays. I mean, I was a business partner of Bill Mays for 20 years, and we never had an argument. We never had a disagreement. We may have had different ideas, and we would decide which one we would use, which would be the best. But the world has lost a great, great man.
You were already successful in business when you and Bill Mays got together. What did you, I mean, you already knew media, you already knew broadcasting, you grew up in a broadcasting family. What did you learn from Bill? What did Bill learn from Bill?
Well, I learned you needed access to money to be able to buy other radio stations. And Bill Mays was a person that believed in what I was doing and believed in what he wanted to do. And he had the resources to be able to get the money to be able to complete the goal that we had, which was to give Indianapolis the best minority radio, television, newspaper operation ever.
Jim Morris, you've been privileged to be a community servant leader in this city for a long time. You have known a lot of the legends in this city. I know it's a difficult question to ask. How do you put rank Bill Mays in the pantheon of folks that you've known as servant leaders in this city?
Well, in fact, he'd be right at the top. I've worked with him for probably 30 years. Also, my good friend, although we were never business partners, mm-hmm. but worked on dozens of common endeavors. He led most of the significant Indianapolis institutions over the years. He had a great, great love for Indiana University. He and his wife, Rose, both distinguished graduates. His wife, Rose, incredible leadership for the Indiana University School of Nursing, Associate Dean. The man touched more bases mm-hmm. than most. Mm-hmm. He was always a gentleman. He was a humble guy. He was a friendly guy, an easy guy to be with, a brilliant business mind. He understood the fundamentals of business as well as anybody I've ever known. He cared deeply about the city, and he was a giant among business, civic, professional leaders. He was an elder in his church, a giant among African-American leaders, but a giant among all leaders in the community.
Derek Burks with Ernst & Young is somebody in the corporate world, African-American at the top ranks in the corporate world. What's the significance of Bill Mays from your perspective?
Well, Amos, you know, I've known Bill for 40 years. I mean, when I was running around at IU trying to figure out what I wanted to be, Bill was right there. I mean, all of my career, he's been right there supporting me, showing me the way. I mean, he believed in me from the beginning. I mean, I am who I am because of Bill reaching back saying, Dirk, you can do this. You can become a partner. You can be the first African-American partner in Indiana. You can do it, and I'll help you do it. So I am what I am because of Bill.
Bill Crawford, like Jim Morris, you've seen a lot of folk in your time as a servant leader in this community. Is Bill at near the top of the list? And there's some heavy folk at the top of that list.
In terms of diversity, Bill is at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. I first met Bill through my colleagues that both have gone home, Senator Glenn Howard and Julia Carson, Congresswoman Julia Carson, when they worked at Cummins Engine in Columbus, and Bill was there also, and that's when I first met Bill. But Bill was, in my mind, the most dynamic, multidimensional, multitasker that I've ever met. He thought outside the box. You could not put him and refer to him in one way. Let me give you two examples. Okay. Bill Mays and Matt Murphy, who he assigned to this project along with David Girton, we introduced legislation to create the state of Indiana has pension funds, right. Teachers retirement, public employees pension funds. They have money managers that invest and manage the money, and they make a good living off of that. And we were able to introduce legislation that became law, signed by Governor O'Bannon, that created the Emerging Energy Money Managers mm-hmm. program. Additionally, and the one that I'm more proud of, is that we created, and Bill was one of the participants, we created the first and only electrical generating company owned by minorities in the history of the United States of America. So he thought outside the box. He dealt with education, economics, housing, health care, but he also thought outside the box and got us into areas where we have not traditionally been.
Jim Morris, one thing that hasn't been mentioned is Bill Mays's work with the other leadership in convincing the NCAA to move from Kansas City here. Diversity was on the minds of the NCAA. The gentleman that was the president and the CEO at the time.
Sid Dempsey.
Sid Dempsey, yeah. And Bill was the one that kind of helped push Indianapolis over the top to get that, to get them here.
Big factor. With Randy Tobias and Jack Swarbrick and two or three other folks, Bill worked very hard to get that done, and he stayed with it during the fundraising. You'll recall we raised $50 million. Mm-hmm. Bill helped us,
right.
It was remarkable. And the impact of that particular effort is in the multi-billions of dollars in terms of its economic impact on our city. I also want to say that he was one of the great Pacer and Fever fans of all time. He truly never missed a game, and he would always walk by where I was seated with my wife before the game started, come in and give my wife a hug and put his arm around me, and he'd stop and have some free food and then go on to a suite.
Well, he also had free food. Joyce Rogers, I understand you learned so much from Bill when you were the number two under the late, great Charles Williams at Indiana Black Expo, both in dealing with Expo and the Circle City Classic, and then again when you took the helm of Expo.
Yes, I mean, Bill was such a confidant for me, and I was introduced to Bill by Charles Williams. And one of the things Charles said was that the community can't be strong without the business, and business can't be strong without the community. And a big link for us between business and community was Bill Mays. And you've named all the boards, you've named all the contacts. And so he was that person that you could go to be able to bridge, whether it's resources, whatever the effort was. Bill never said no, and I actually used to tease him, and to the point where I would always say, Bill, you know, you've never said no when I've asked you to do something, to help something for this contact, and he would say, so does that mean you're getting ready to ask me something? And but he just never said no, and he was just such a humble person. I can remember the governor was introducing him for some award that he was receiving, and he named all of these businesses that Bill was linked with, that Bill had helped. And I was just absolutely flabbergasted. And at the end, I went up to Bill and I said, Bill, I don't think most of the people in the community know this part of you at this level. It was just huge. And he said, Joyce, thank you for saying that, but that's not why I do it. I do it, it's because that's what we're here for. We're here for to help other people. And that's really the way he was. And I know that he helped me, and he helped my reign when I was with Indiana Black Expo and Circle City Classic.
Derek Burks, you see, in the position that you have, you see the visibility in the business community, and I've been talking to some folks, since God called Bill Mays home. There is nothing in the pipeline. Is that, should we be worried as a community that in the younger generation, there's no potential Bill Mays? You got to wait for the spark to happen for somebody to become that entrepreneur, to start that business, to get that hot hand, to be successful, and then understand the importance of, as you're being successful, give back. Derek?
Yeah, I'm here. I would say that, you know, Bill taught us well. I don't think there will be individually anyone that could replace Bill, but I think if we all collectively do what he's really taught us to do, I think together we might be able to accomplish it here in the community.
Amos, and I just kind of want to add to that, too. I think for me, what was really unique about Bill was the fact that he had that business connection, and he really helped at that business level. But Bill has such an affinity for the community. I mean, Bill helped. I mean, we've heard all those stories. I mean, right. Bill stepped in for the least of these. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just had something special. And I know, I agree with Derek. I think if everybody steps up, we can bridge that gap. We need to bridge that gap between business and community.
Let me take a quick break. See, Bill Shirk understands about quick breaks because he knows didn't want to, you know, got to pay the light bill. Also, when we come back, we want to pick up with Bill Shirk and talk about the importance of business people thinking out of the box, because, you know, there's a whole lot of traditional business people say, wait, them two together? Oh, heck no. And the importance of business people thinking out of the box. Also, we'll hear from a former governor and current president of Purdue University about his relationship with Bill Mays. It's a special edition of Afternoons with Amos. More after these.
Hi, this is Linda Elsie Clemens, and when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
I want to thank Derek Burks, managing partner of Ernst & Young, joining our panel. Jim Morris is here with us, Bill Crawford, Joyce Rogers, and the legendary Bill Shirk. In business, a lot of times people get stereotyped that business people are supposed to just be with folks that they're comfortable with, and opposites don't attract. And people kind of looked at you when you were in business with Bill Mays as opposites, but you all really weren't.
No, we were all on the same page. I mean, they called him Dollar Bill and they called me Crazy Bill. But the bottom line was, is that I was doing all that crazy stuff to get free publicity. Mm-hmm. But one of the strong suits of Bill Mays was his ability to see in people what they could and could not do. Mm-hmm. He believed in me. He knew what could be done, and he gave me the resources to make it happen. But you asked me about thinking out of the box.
Yeah.
Now here's a perfect example of Bill Mays thinking out of the box. He just had purchased the, FM station, which is now TLC FM. He already owned the TV station and bought the person out that owned HHH and XLW. And the first thing he said to me after the sale was finalized, he called me on the phone. He says, I've got something I want you to do. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? I was going to do anything you want. He says, you need to hire that Amos Brown. I said, what? You mean the guy that's made all those jabs at me on television, all those jabs on me on radio, and all those things he's saying about me in the newspaper? I said, great idea. And we hired you. And it was a fantastic move. It was a great, great move.
You've been waiting all these years to say that.
That's the truth. It's the truth.
The things you learn on here. Earlier, we had the opportunity to sit down with former Governor Mitch Daniels, currently now the president of Purdue University, about his relationship and working with Bill Mays. Here's that conversation.
Mitch Daniels knew Bill Mays through a variety of things, whether it was Eli Lilly, whether it was before then, obviously as governor of Indiana. And he, even as a Purdue man now, even tolerated an IU man like Bill Mays. Mr. President, Governor, first of all, welcome, and we're sorry we're talking under these circumstances. But what is the Bill Mays you remember?
He was a giant, Amos. I know it's been said better by other people these last few days, but in all the dimensions of life that seem to me matter most, Bill just set a great example. He, first of all, he led a good life personally, high character person. He was, as we know, more giving to others than he ever let on, or that probably anybody will ever add up. He was active in his externally in his community in big ways, and I was lucky enough to participate with him in a number of those. You know, they don't make them like that very often at all, and I don't really know who follows him, but I hope his example will inspire others to try.
Is it Mitch Daniels that Bill Mays is also exemplifies the best of Indiana, someone born here in this state, educated in this state, and started something from nothing and built it into something powerful and then gave back to other Hoosiers? Isn't that really what we all strive for in Indiana?
Yeah, well, we should all strive for it wherever we live, but I do think that here in Indiana, we value it as much as anybody. No, you said it. I always said that the first act, the greatest act of corporate citizenship is to succeed, you know, and Bill Mays did. He built, as you say, a great business in the early days, probably against the odds somewhat, but he built a great business, created a lot of jobs and hope and opportunity for others. But then, of course, he didn't stop there, and no one will ever count how many other African-American business owners he either inspired, mentored, invested in, helped when they needed it most. And, you know, that, again, is just a contribution that we cannot, the value of which we cannot measure.
I will never forget when your office called me back in, I think it was September of 2004, and they said, Mitch Daniels wants to come on your show. He has a special announcement. Didn't have a clue what you had up your sleeve, and you walked in the studio with Bill Mays, and that's when Bill dropped to a lot in the community that bomb that he was supporting you for governor in your first run. How significant was that?
It was monumental. I felt that I was working as hard as a person could to build the broadest coalition of Hoosiers for Change. We thought the state was stuck and going nowhere, and we needed everybody. I always said big change requires big majorities, and you have to be as inclusive as possible. And they're just so a lot of people came on that folks didn't expect, but I think Bill was probably the single most statewide was the most important. His credibility was so high, and obviously he had spent most of his active political time he'd spent on the Democratic side. And so, you know, he wasn't an easy sell. He and I had lots of talks about where the state ought to go and what needed fixing most. And I felt that I really had to earn his support. When he said I had, it just made all the difference. I think you remember I then imposed on him to be at the heart of our transition process. Mm-hmm. So we could recruit talented African Americans and others into our administration, and he just remained a trusted advisor from that day right till last week.
In terms of the impact, I was talking to somebody earlier that he was almost like an economy unto himself in terms of the people that he helped or that he invested in. Some worked, some didn't work. It was almost like an economy now may be lost because he's not here.
Yeah, I think I like that phrase. You know, there's a lot of people who succeed and very well and then are very generous and donate money, and that's terrific. We love those folks. But the special thing about Bill was he invested, and as you say, I don't doubt he lost a lot of money on the ones that didn't work, but he was always trying to create a larger economy of African-American success in central Indiana and I suppose beyond. And, you know, he wanted to create those. He was a wonderful philanthropist, but he wanted to create other philanthropists, and he knew that couldn't happen unless you had private enterprises that, that grew up and flourished as his had. And that may be the hardest thing to replace. But I hope somebody will try to step up.
Mitch Daniels, we know you're very, very busy. How's it going around the university?
Well, you know, it's a great place, and we think that, I hope a little bit in the Mays tradition. I mean, that we are, giving birth to great, business starters and business leaders of tomorrow, people who think inclusively and in a diverse way, and you know, that, I know a lot of these young people will make Indiana really proud, but nothing would make us more proud than if somewhere in that, these graduating classes, while I'm around here, that there was another Bill Mays.
Former Governor Mitch Daniels, currently the president of Purdue University. Thanks very, very much for being with us.
Hey, anytime, Amos. Thank you.
And Joyce Rogers, now he wants a Bill Mays to come from Purdue. Yeah, why do I get the feeling IU's not going to like that too well?
Well, you know, to know Bill, you know, he was truly an IU fan. And frankly, I was at Ivy Tech and talking to Bill about support for Ivy Tech. He was like, Joyce, you know I'm an IU guy. He said, you got to, like, help me to understand Ivy Tech even better. But he became a supporter of Ivy Tech. That's because that's the kind of person that he and his family is, he and both Rose. You know, when he started looking at the numbers about African Americans and the support that they need, the next time I saw him, he said, you know what, I've been watching, I listened to what you said. He said, we get it. And so, I mean, that was just in Bill Mays fashion. You know, he truly valued education for all of us, but especially for the African-American community.
Derek Burks, Jim Morris, Bill Crawford, Joyce Rogers, and Crazy Bill himself. Thank you all very, very much. Yeah, there will be the selfie and during the commercial break, because everybody wants to see this. Guys, thanks very, very much as we celebrate that, you know, Bill Crawford, Black Lives Matter. Now, this is an example of this.
Absolutely. And to young people,
yeah.
Bill's legacy is a challenge.
And your point that he did it all as a great Hoosier from the beginning to
That's
end.
It. Great Hoosier story.
Remarkable, actually.
Yeah, Bill?
Well, the Lord gave him, the world gave him Bill Mays on his birthday, and he went to meet the Lord on his birthday. And I know right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's sitting at the right hand of the Lord.
And with Charles Williams, probably having a good time as well. Guys, thanks very, very much. We'll take a break, and we will continue remembering a life well lived of Bill Mays. All that and more on a special edition of Afternoons with Amos for a Tuesday.
Hello, this is Councilman Joseph Simpson for District 9, and you're listening to the afternoon show with Amos Brown on AM 1310 The Light.
We talked a little bit about it with former Governor Daniels, now president of Purdue University, and with Jim Morris, Bill Mays, born in Indiana, educated in Indiana, started his business with just one person starting Mays Chemical himself. This is a true Indiana success story. Somebody that knows about Indiana success stories is former governor, former Senator Evan Bayh. He's on our live line. Senator, welcome. Is it fair to say that Bill Mays is literally one of those Hoosier success stories all of Indiana would love?
I think that's absolutely fair to say, Amos. He was a self-made individual. As your previous guests have pointed out, a tremendous success in the business community, but also with a sense of conscience and wanting to give back. And so, yeah, he's the kind of person that you can be proud of, whether you're from Indianapolis or out around the state someplace in a small town. It's kind of the American dream, right?
Yes.
You work hard, you sacrifice, you come from nothing, and you become a pillar of the community. And Bill was looked to in that way By all of us, my father and myself included.
When you were looking for people of integrity, when we had to start up the Hoosier Lottery and you were looking for people to be on the control board, the lottery commission, to run that entity that the people of Indiana said they wanted, and I think everybody wanted something that was going to be above board, palms up. Bill Mays was one of the five that you appointed to that first board.
That's correct. My primary objective, Amos, was integrity, make sure it was honest and done right. There had been problems in other states with contracts being given out and so forth and so on in ways that maybe shouldn't have been done, and I knew that Bill was a person whose integrity was beyond reproach, and he would insist that it be done in a straightforward, honest, business-like manner. And I also thought diversity was important, mm-hmm. and Bill certainly brought that perspective to the table as well.
In terms of the lessons learned, we've heard all about the many people he mentored, the investments that he made, some won, some lost. And in an environment today where people in business are looked down upon, there's that negative image of people in businesses just being out for themselves, not for others. Is this a great lesson for all of us to learn the right way the private sector can be?
I think that's also absolutely right, Amos. And he was a very successful businessman, but he had a conscience. And he knew that ultimately his business couldn't be any more prosperous than the community around him, and that it was important for others also to succeed and get ahead. So I think it's an example of the American free enterprise system at its best, someone who's self-made, but then is also looking to give back. And, you know, to the extent we can all be a little more like Bill Mays, I think our community and our state will be better places.
And you mentioned, because obviously he had a longevity of career, that he also worked with your dad. I'd forgotten that.
Oh, yes. They knew each other. Matter of fact, I think I first met Bill probably in 1980, my father's last campaign for the United States Senate. And so I've known Bill since I was literally 23 years old, and my father thought very, very highly of him, again, because he was successful, obviously smart and hardworking, but also cared about other people and had that conscience that I spoke about. And you don't find people like that very often.
So you're around in the multi-plaid jacket days.
Yeah, I probably wore some of that myself back in the day, although my hair was a little bit longer than Bill's back then.
Again, we're sorry that we're talking under these circumstances, but as we've been saying throughout the program, not only remembering a life well lived, but with a lot of people talking the slogan, Black Lives Matter. This is an example of it does.
You know, Amos, I'm sitting here looking at the most recent holiday picture of my boys that we'll be sending out to friends, and what makes me mention that is I could point to Bill Mays and his life and his example to my sons and say, fellas, here's a man you should try and lead your life like. Because if you do, you'll not only be rewarded yourself, but other people will think you've led an honorable life that's worth living.
Senator Evan Bayh, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks very, very much for joining us in celebrating this life. Also here celebrating the life, Sam Odell is here representing the United Way of Central Indiana. And that was a big part of the philanthropic life of Bill Mays. Also, he was a proud member of Kappa Alpha Psi, so proud that when Roland Martin tweeted on the passing of Bill Mays, he mentioned a time where Roland, who's with some other fraternity, was jawjacking with Bill Mays about Kappa, and I understand, I think Bill Mays got the better of Roland Martin. Anybody that can get the better of Roland Martin is doing well. The poll mark of Kappa Alpha Psi, Kevin Adams is here. He was also a proud Prince Hall Mason, and the most worshipful Grand Master of the Prince Hall Masons, Clyde Bailey, is here along with Eugene Anderson, and on our live line is Dr. Virginia Kane, head of the Marion County Health Department. Guys, thank you all for being here. Welcome. Is it, Sam, I literally, before I went on the air on Friday, was just emotionally stunned when I saw the tribute that the United Way did for Bill Mays on the website. I don't think any non-minority institution gave that kind of online love to Bill Mays. How significant was his contributions? Because you wouldn't be a part of the United Way family if Bill hadn't broken some barriers.
Yeah, Bill was definitely a role model for me. But, you know, Bill was the first African-American campaign chair for United Way. During his campaign, he raised $31.5 million, which was a high water mark for United Way back in the 1990s. Bill also served as the board chair for United Way. He really brought diversity to the forefront with United Way. Mm-hmm. Really, his leadership and giving demonstrated that minorities were philanthropists, they could give, and he also was, along with Faye Williams, was one of the founders of the Minority Key Club, which is now the Diversity Leadership.
Let me go back to that, yeah. Because United Ways across the country have had these key clubs, which is like, okay, if you got give at least $1,000 and you get a key. It's to encourage giving at a higher level. And Bill, it came up with the idea it was time for people of color to do the same thing.
Right, absolutely. Our community benefited from those dollars, and there were many of us who were successful, you know, and he was role modeling that for us to say, you know, we can be philanthropists, we can be donors, we can participate in this part of our community as well.
Kevin Adams, to say that Bill Mays was a proud Kappa is an understatement. First of all, our sympathies to all the brothers of Kappa Alpha Psi. This is a big loss for the brotherhood. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's very fair to say. The hallmark of a good Kappa man is achievement and leadership development. And Bill was a pace setter in both areas.
And he also received some of the highest honors that the fraternity can bestow on any member.
Yes, he was the recipient of the Elder Watson Diggs Award, mm-hmm. which is our second highest award. And then ultimately, the Laurel Wreath, which is the highest award.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask from the Prince Hall Masons perspective. That's an organization I don't think a lot of people knew that Bill Mays was a proud member of that great organization. Clyde Bailey is the most worshipful Grand Master. Again, our sympathies to the Prince Hall Mason on the loss of one of your great members.
Thank you. Brother Mays, as he was a pillar of the community in Annapolis, he was also a pillar of our organization.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Brother Mays had only been with us a few years, he is the things that he was able to do. He constantly at our corporate luncheon. We have a corporate luncheon each year in July, mm-hmm. where we give deserving students student aid, and he assists in it every year in making sure that the students of Annapolis, or rather the Indiana area, receive these awards. It wasn't a large, but it was a small token,
right.
Just to help them. As he said, if someone helped him along the way, mm-hmm. he was willing to do what he could to help others along the way.
Dr. Virginia Kane is head of the Marion County Health Department. She's on our live line. And, Doc, your remembrances of Bill Mays.
Well, there are several things. I'll tell you a funny story, but I also want to emphasize that Bill was a chemistry major, and I was a chemistry major, too, in undergraduate. And I don't think people realize what a phenomenal accomplishment he has done, because when you looked across the country to see how many African-Americans were getting chemistry degrees at that time, it was sort of unheard of. So he went into an area that was the complexity of it and the science related to how you grasp all of those concepts were phenomenal. So for him to carve out a chemical company in that part of industry where you didn't find any African Americans at all is just so what a unique brain, and phenomenal success he was, because you can still look across this country and there are very few chemical companies that are owned by African Americans. So I just really wanted to emphasize that feat of what he accomplished in his time and age. Now, I got to tell you the funny story.
Okay.
And I have to tell you that some well-known radio hosts during a roast of Bill Mays at length talked about him like a dog in terms of the clothes he wore.
Well, no, some others have already mentioned the clothes.
This is what Bill May told me. I really got to get the story right. Okay?
All right.
So he used to wear these special coats, but he also had a special Kappa coat that he wore. Now, if you saw him in that outfit, you see this worn jacket, and you said to myself, this man is wearing this jacket out. It's ridiculous. But he went out of town, and his just beloved wife, I saw him at a meeting. I said, whoa, I don't even recognize you, Bill. He had a new blazer on, a matching shirt and tie. I said, what happened to you? He says, well, my favorite wife, only having one, of course, mm-hmm. went into my belongings and got rid of my stuff and carried it to Goodwill. My favorite jacket, my sweater, and everything. And he said, I had to be late for a meeting because I had to go down to Goodwill and pay for my clothes to get them back. So, you know, my good luck blazer, my Kappa blazer, I can't let it go. So we were just busting out laughing. But he said, I got to keep it hidden for Rose for a while, you know, because she don't know that I got my stuff back. But he was an amazing guy. He was an amazing mentor for all of us who were starting our careers. And a lot of people, I think some of you may know, you can't live with a nurse all your life and not have a health bent. So he had a special interest in working on health and health disparities in our community. He worked very closely with the Indiana Minority Health Coalition. He did initiatives where he partnered with us on teenage pregnancy. And I really like it that he helped to support the OK program. This was a program that targeted young African-American males who had difficulties in school, working with some of the African-American IMPD police, where they provide them counseling on the side. Some of them got laptops.
Yes.
But their grades improved significantly, and their issues related to their arrest and frequency problems disappeared because of his interest going that extra mile, trying to help anybody in our community.
And Dr. King, you mentioned two critical things when we're talking about getting at more African Americans involved in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and Sam Odle and Polmark, Kevin Adams. Young people can identify with the businessman side of Bill Mays. Maybe in teaching STEM and encouraging African Americans in STEM to link the business side, which is the, you know, which is the money kind of thing, with his degree was chemistry.
I think that is really key. I really think so. You know, we need to continue to generate a young generation in the sciences. That is so critical. And they can bring a tremendous benefit in industry here. And just, we need all these bright minds.
Sam Odle, you obviously, you and I, we both worked for Dr. Frank Lloyd, who was kind of the guy 40, 50 years ago. Is it fair to say that Bill Mays was the guy for the last 30 years and that we face now a problem that there is no guy or lady that will be dominant for a while?
Well, I think that you're talking about two people that were of such great stature and accomplishment in the community. It's hard for a single individual to follow in their footsteps and achieve what those two individuals have achieved. But I think someone said earlier, it's going to take all of us probably pulling together to sort of equal the impact that they had. And I think that they were both the kind of individuals that didn't want the focus on them as individuals. They mm-hmm. wanted to share it.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to share the power, the knowledge, the opportunity. And so hopefully, you know, that's what we'll see, is that we'll follow that example that Frank and Bill have left for us as a community, especially a minority community that needs to work together to be successful.
Grandmaster Clyde Bailey, Polmark, Kevin Adams, is that the word unselfishness? Is that really the word that describes Bill Mays?
Yes, it definitely does. As we talk about unselfishness, Bill had achieved a lot in the fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And if he really wanted to, he probably could have been the grand Polmark
right.
of the organization. But he decided that his best work, he could do his best work behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So he was an integral part of establishing the Kappa Foundation, the philanthropic arm. He was engaged in many of the scholarship activities, as you mentioned earlier, in terms of trying to connect business with science. Right. He played a key role in trying to bring younger brothers into enterprise in that regard.
From Prince Hall Masons, Eugene Andrews, and Grandmaster Clyde Bailey, Polemark of Kappa Alpha Psi, Kevin Adams, Sam Odell representing United Way, Dr. Virginia Kane of the Marion County Health Department, thank you all very much for being here with us. We're going to end this broadcast with Bill Mays' own words. His last media interview was October 29th on our program when we were out at the annual Moselle Sanders Thanksgiving Dinner fundraiser. And this year we're at a new black-owned business, Georgia Reese's. And as Bill talks about black business, you can hear his philosophies about business and what made Bill Mays so unique. So as we end our broadcast today, in this, and we thank everybody for listening. We thank all the guests that were here, and we're so generous with their time and their wisdom. Our interview begins with me asking Bill the critical importance of even having a black-owned business.
Well, I think it's absolutely critical because there is a tendency for other institutions not to hire African-Americans. And so you look at the wait staff, you look at the cooks, you look at the kind of commitment to the community that the minority institutions make, it does make a difference. And that's what I guess, that's why I'm out here. I could eat lunch any place, but, and I could just send a check, to the Moselle Sanders Foundation. But I wanted to support Gary. I wanted to see his place out here. I wanted to be able to say, to anybody the food was great. And that they ought to come out, and parking is easy, and support this kind of institution.
You know, we've had some listeners that call the show and they say, there's all these Hispanic businesses out here, and they just, because we see Hispanic names and we see Spanish on the name, they're just out businessing the black community, and how come we don't have businesses in our community? And it's like, well, wait a minute. Here's Georgia Reese's. This is not necessarily a black majority neighborhood at 86th and Michigan Road, though African Americans live in the close surrounding area. But here's an example of a business getting ready to expand.
That's correct. And Gary is a good example of someone that has seen the vision and recognizes that it is important to try to have additional outlets and to serve good food at reasonable prices and have excellent service. So, I mean, that's what it's all about. And so I think that I'm very pleased that that he is looking to expand, that he's going to stay in the city and stay around for a while, and certainly that's the way we need to go in the inner city, in the city, period.
He was able to go out and recruit the gentleman that used to be at Harry and Izzy's and Bonefish Grill. How important is that for a new entrepreneur, African-American, to go out and get some better talent and surround himself with great talent?
Jeff is just wonderful. Jeff Smith is just wonderful. And I'm going to have him. I'm looking at doing a project out in Geist. That's food service, and Jeff is going to be involved with helping us get it started from the very beginning, so that we'll depend on his expertise, and he'll own part of it, and so he'll be committed to making sure that it is successful.
It's been a couple of years since you stepped away from the company that's got your name on it, and your daughter's running it. I understand she's making more sales than you did.
Well, that's right. She's making more profit anyway. And the bottom line is what really counts. The first thing she did, Amos, was cut my salary $100,000 and say that I was overpaid anyway. And so she's really done great. And that will continue, I'm sure, till I finally decide to sell the company. And because the chemical company was my dream, and I want to be able to leave the kids and the grandkids something called cash so that they can live their dream.
The gentleman that the president visited his plant in Princeton, Indiana, I think it took a lot of people by surprise to follow black-owned business, that there was a black-owned business making a whole lot of money, almost as much as Mays Chemical, in Princeton, Indiana. What can you tell the community about that gentleman?
Well, not a whole lot, other than I'm very pleased that we do have successful African-American businesses, minority-owned businesses across the state. And there's certainly room for a lot more. Princeton is not the place you would normally think of having a substantial business. But I'm very pleased and glad that that he was chosen and that the president did go down to support manufacturing.
All right, Bill Mays, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
And we hope you enjoyed that. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, live at 1.